Day before yesterday, we have started explaining the 16 exercises of Anapana Sati meditation, explaining the usage of the meditation on breath as entering the path, the only path towards liberation, which is considered to be the practice of the four foundations of mindfulness. This is how it is explained in the Agamas. Now, the analytical meditation based on the differentiating mind is actually the only path to liberation recognized by the Agamas. In the Mahayana tradition, still this path is kept in the Yogacara tradition, but eventually the Mahayana tradition came more and more to emphasize the non-discriminating wisdom rather than the differentiating wisdom, right? However, the both kinds of wisdom are very, very precious and should be used as complementary. The non-differentiating wisdom is not emphasized and hardly mentioned in the Agamas, but it became the main content of the practice of wisdom in or the practice of vipassana in the Mahayana tradition. And again, in the Agama Buddhism, which is a base for Theravada, the practice of the non-differentiating wisdom is not emphasized at all. Even so, it is mentioned also, especially in the scriptures which have to do with most closely with the original teachings of the Buddha, like Sutta Nipata. So far we have covered only the first set of the 16 exercises, namely the set of exercises connected with the foundation of mindfulness directed towards the body. And as far as these exercises are concerned, we have explained these exercises, they have the shamatha part and the vipassana part. So far we have been concerned only with the shamatha part, because the participants here, the students here, are especially practicing samadhi, which I am highly recommending as to try to master before going into the vipassana, because without the samadhi, the practice of vipassana, we're in some way or another we always very superficial, and the realization will become very, very painful and very difficult, unless one has is using the jhanic cognitions for realization, and one rests in jhanic cognitions in order to contemplate the impermanence, then the path towards realization will be very painful indeed, very difficult indeed. So these four exercises we have already summarized, being the breathing in and breathing out, the long breath, being aware with wisdom of breathing in and breathing out, the long breath, then the same about the short breath, then learning to while breathing in and breathing out, experiencing the whole body. This is explained in Theravada tradition as a whole body of breath. In the touching point where, or the touching place where one experiences the breath. This is different from the northern tradition, where it is explained literally as experiencing the whole body of breath in the body, in the whole body. Then sublimating the bodily formations. The bodily formations we have explained as being nothing else than the breath, because breath is connected with the wind element. Even so, in the breath, all the other elements are there. The wind element is most obvious. The manifestation of the wind element is the movement. And we experience breath as movement, right? But the bodily formations is also that which supports our body. We can now sit in a firm posture only because we support our body by the mind-created wind element, which is also breath. The mind-created wind element is also that through the medium of which we can speak, we can move our body. So this is the ideal instrument for practicing awareness and mindfulness. How we use the mind-created wind element decides how we move our body, how we speak, and how we breathe. And these actions, in a way, manifest how we use our mind, because these are the mind-created corporealities, mind-created elements, material elements. We have to be careful about using the word material, because the material in Western philosophy and in Buddhism is not quite the same. So we should say rupa, and maybe no need to translate it really, because rupa means literally that which is breaking. In according to Buddhism, all the components of our experience are breaking. All the components of our experience in the world are breaking, but the breaking process of the corporeality is most obvious, while the breaking process of the mentality is not so obvious. That is why we usually associate the self, the illusionary self, some lasting perception of ourselves, with the mind. According to Buddhism, the whole all students of Buddhism should know very clearly, there is no lasting perception of the self. The real perception of the self is the process of breaking. And this process of breaking is most clear at the material or corporeal part of our existence. Because we know that we are not what we used to be 10 years ago, and we will not be what we are now after 10 years, we can deduce, even if we don't have the experience of experiencing impermanence in samadhi, we can deduce that this process of impermanence is going on in each and every moment of our experience. this is what the Abhidhamma especially emphasizes. Now, even so, the breath is the movement by itself, and impermanence by itself. When we practice the meditation of shamatha, as all students of Buddhism should know, practicing meditation in Buddhism means practicing shamatha and vipassana. Shamatha means appeasement. In order to see things as they really are, we have to appease our minds. Otherwise, we will always be deluded by our own subjective experience. Our subjective experience is defined by our past. Due to our past experience, we hold desperately to the idea of something lasting in our experience. In order to break this vicious circle of desperate holding to something lasting in our experience, we have to start with thorough understanding of what we are experiencing here and now. Only when we thoroughly understand what we experience here and now, we will be able to get rid of this vicious grasping towards the something lasting in our experience. Then we will be able to detach from the past and to make the future better, because the future will become only better when we can detach from our past. We are unable to improve our future because we are unable to detach from our past. Please always try to keep this clearly in mind and contemplate on it. By understanding the present nature of our experience as it is, we will be able to detach either by deduction, if the samadhi is not good enough. If we have samadhi, we will be able to re-experience our past experiences on the base of our understanding of the present experience. If we don't have samadhi, still we can deduce. According to Buddhism, we are subjected to three kinds of experience. The direct experience, which is the most reliable, the experience by deduction, and the distorted experience. Most of our experiences are distorted experiences. We are imposing our subjective ideas on the reality. That is a distorted perception. And we see in the reality something lasting, something unchanging. This is how our delusion has continuity. Otherwise, delusion has no its continuity will be threatened. Only when this continuity of delusion is threatened, we will be able to reduce our defilements. So, the seeing the reality as it is right now, according to the Buddha's teaching, is the samadhi. Only the mind in samadhi sees things as they really are. And what are the things as they really are? according to the Agama teachings, they are nothing but impermanence, the suffering connected with impermanence, and the perfect selflessness of all the all what we are experiencing, and of the one who is experiencing it. So the subject and the object of experience is impermanence, the suffering connected with impermanence, and the perfect selfless nature of all the component parts of our experience. This is what is to be understood in samadhi. Only then it will be understood thoroughly. Otherwise we can only deduce. But deducing is also a very effective way of improving our wisdom. But the most effective way of improving our wisdom is seeing by direct experience. Only that seeing by direct experience is able to shake off our delusions. Thoroughly. And lead us to realization. The understanding by deduction will not have the necessary force of completely cutting off the defilements. That is why the cultivation of samadhi is so important, and I advise all, even so you are busy in doing other things, not to forget this cultivation of samadhi and try at least 1 hour a day to improve your concentration of the mind. So these four exercises that we have been talking about day before yesterday, we have connected with the shamatha practice. We have not spoken yet about the vipassana practice. If we do the samatha practice, we should, and same about the vipassana practice, we should understand these four exercises that we have explained as being one process. If you have samadhi, these four, these not four but three, because you cannot, when you breathe the long breath, you cannot breathe a short breath. When you breathe a short breath, you cannot breathe the long breath, right? So these three exercises, either is connected with long or short breath, they are actually happening in samadhi, in the state of deeper concentration, in one cognition, not in one cognition, in several cognition, but because you are contemplating one object, you will have impression that it is one cognition. When you breathe in or out, you are observing what? You are observing the long or short in-breath or out-breath, and you are placing the mind equally on this long or short in-breath and out-breath. That is the job of the meditator. This is how he will master these four exercises. Only I have specially emphasized day before yesterday, when the object becomes very clear, the mind becomes very clear. When the object is not clear, the mind will also not be clear. Only the clear mind can see defilements. The non-clear mind, even so it is with defilements, it does not see them. So the breath is also the means of developing the mindfulness and awareness, which is the inseparably connected with clarity of the mind. The mindfulness and awareness is, so to say, the light of wisdom of the mind. When this mind has a light of wisdom, the corporeality which it is producing will become light and luminous. When the mind has no power of shamatha and vipassana, of mindfulness and awareness, the corporeality which it is producing will be heavy and unclear. Most of us, unfortunately, we are living in this domain of mind and corporeality which is heavy and unclear. So this experience is connected with many defilements and with many worries and with many fears and with many kind of conflicting emotions, because we do not see the defilements arising and passing away. Because we do not see the defilements as arising and passing away, we identify ourselves with these defilements. And because we identify ourselves with this defilement, our life becomes very miserable. When you have this lightness and relaxation connected with mindfulness and awareness, then as soon as the defilement arises, or even before it arises, you will be aware of its process of arising. And as soon as you are aware of the process of arising, the defilements, just like the actor on the stage which has been whose mask and the makeup has been removed, he will become ashamed and disappears from the stage. These are the words of the Lankavatara Sutra. Ru len chie ching. So the defilements cannot remain when you see them as defilements. They remain when you don't see them as defilements. When you see them as yourself, I am stupid, I am this, I am that, I am whatever you wish, except wisdom. So it is so important to practice mindfulness and awareness of being aware of one's defilements. Unless one has samadhi, one will not be aware of one's defilements. When one has samadhi, one will be able to see very clearly how the defilements arise and how they pass away. If one has no samadhi, one will not see it very clearly. If one has samadhi, one will see very clearly why the defilements arise. Because we pay attention to the unsuitable objects. This is part of the mindfulness. Because we have mindfulness, we know that when we pay attention to the unsuitable object, many, many defilements arise. When we pay attention to the suitable object and our mind is united with that object, when it is centered on that object, no defilement. When you have experience of no defilement for a long time, what happens in the state of samadhi, then you become very sensitive to the defilements. If you don't have the experience of a a mind without defilements for a long time, you will not be sensitive towards the defilements. So what happens is, defilements will be there, and you will not be able to see them as defilements. And then you will start thinking, he did me wrong, he insulted me, I am stupid, I am this, I am better than him, I am equal to him. This is the mind not sensitive to defilements. Even so involved in defilements, not seeing defilements. So like a blind man groping in the dark, you will not see the causes of defilements, and you will not see the objects connected with defilements. So the samadhi is connected with the one-pointedness of the mind. The one-pointedness of the mind is the base of samadhi. Without this base, no question of samadhi. And this one-pointedness of the mind is compared to the light of the lamp in the room where there is no wind. You have to put the light of the mind in the place where there is no wind, there is no wind, to illuminate your experience. If your experience is not illuminated, you will always be in some way or another in the state of defilements without knowing there are defilements. Because you don't understand the nature of your experience. So cultivation of samadhi is nothing else but cultivation of this lamp, the flame of the lamp, which is not disturbed by the wind. If the flame of the lamp is disturbed by the wind, you will see everything in the flickering light, and you will identify your experience with your previous defilements, with your previous clingings and likings and dislikings, because you cannot see the nature of the object, you cannot see the nature of your experience. So the process of the force exercise, which we have mentioned and not explained yet in detail, and because some of you are already in the process of attaining samadhi, so we should now explain somehow in more detail this force exercise, which is pasambayam kaya sankharam asasi samiti sikhati, pasambayam kaya sankharam pasasi samiti sikhati. I learn to breathe in and out while sublimating. Sublimating means tiao ye la ye wei xi, making the more and more subtle the experience of my long or short breath. This in Campbell by Tony, I was speaking about these four stages, four steps. This is also the step of placing the mind equally on the object. Placing the mind equally and together means samadhi. It is this ability to place mind equally and together on the object, which here means long or short in-breath and out-breath, which you can see in all stages of its coming and going in one place. This will make the experience of the breath more and more sublime. The more sublime the experience of the breath, the more clear will become the one-pointedness. And the more clear will become the accompanying elements of the one-pointedness for those who learn entering into the samadhi. This is the investigation of the long or short breath from the beginning to the end, which is called vitaka, the sustaining of the mind on the long or short in-breath and out-breath, which is called vichara, the rejoicing at the long or short in-breath and out-breath, which is called piti, and experiencing with happiness the long or short in-breath and out-breath, which is called sukha. When you can experience the whole body of the long or short in-breath and out-breath with these elements, what will happen? The experience of the in-breath and out-breath will be accompanied by, step by step, accompanied by the experience of luminosity, the color or light which appears at the place where you are experiencing in-breath and out-breath. Now remember, when you have already samadhi, if you pay attention to any sensitive place in the body, like those who have trained in qigong, they may experience a lot of light in this area, or in the heart, or in the eyes, or in the ears. Wherever you pay attention in your body, if you have this ability of one-pointedness of mind, light may appear. If you follow these lights, you will go away from concentration. The only light or color which is of relevance to your meditation, if you are meditating on in-breath and out-breath, is the color or light which appears at the place where you are experiencing the long or short in-breath and out-breath. Only if you work like this, you will be able to enter into the samadhi on anapanasati. Otherwise, if you pay attention to any other lights, you will be only diverted from samadhi on anapanasati. And if it becomes habit, then it will be very difficult to get back to the anapanasati. Now, it is to be remembered that this place where you are experiencing in-breath and out-breath in the Buddhist scriptures is called technically anapana nimitta. It means the sign of the in-breath and out-breath. You can only experience in-breath and out-breath because you touch it. And the touch of that in-breath and out-breath is called technically the sign of in-breath and out-breath. Why? Because our mind is experiencing objects by signs. And this sign of in-breath and out-breath, you have to remember, is a mental sign. If you are working on the shamatha, to use the Yogacara explanation, it will be the non-differentiated sign. You don't differentiate its component parts. You just know the bare fact of in-breath and out-breath. This is how you work on shamatha, using these four exercises. If you differentiate the component parts of this sign of the breath, then you will be working on the vipassana. The object of vipassana, there seems to be a lot of confusion about it. I noticed in the interviews, the object of vipassana is the nama and rupa, the corporeality and the mentality. There is no other object in vipassana. And if you are working on vipassana, to use the Abhidhamma definition, you are differentiating the own characteristics and the common characteristics of the objects you investigate. If it is the breath, the own characteristic of the breath is the earth, the other elements. Then you will go into the vipassana meditation. On long or short breath, and on the whole body of the in-breath and out-breath. If you are concerned at the sign of the breath with the bare fact of breathing in and breathing out, don't pay attention to hardness, softness, smoothness, roughness, coolness, warmth of the experience, then you are practicing the shamatha meditation. If you are practicing the shamatha meditation, your aim is to enter the jhana. The what state is jhana? You should understand very clearly. There seems to be a lot of confusion among some of us here. The state of jhana is a state of mind where the mind does not change the object. It always remains on the same object. It means the causes of the first jhana, the applied thought or investigation of the object, the sustained thought, the rejoicing as the object, the experience of pleasure while receiving the object, and the one-pointedness of mind is always experienced on the same object. This is a condition of samadhi. If the objects are changing, no samadhi. No samadhi in the sense of approximate jhana, first jhana, second jhana, third jhana, fourth jhana, and so on. You should be very clear about it. Unless you understand clearly your meditation, you cannot succeed. Now, when you are able to maintain this kind of mind, which is investigating, sustained, rejoicing, experiencing, and one-pointed always on the same object, then you will be able to use that object for samadhi. If you are changing object, you will not be able to use that object for samadhi. Now, if you are using in-breath and out-breath as your investigation object, as your object of sustaining the mind, as your object of rejoicing, as your object of experiencing pleasure, as your object of one-pointedness. When you have maintained mind freed from defilements on that object, freed from thinking and freed from scattering, then you will experience the in-breath and out-breath together with some color or the light. Unless you can do it, you will not experience it together with the color or the light, because the one-pointedness of the mind will not be outspoken. The one-pointedness of the mind will only be outspoken when you investigate, sustain your mind, rejoice and experience with pleasure always the same object. Now, it is innate, because the breath, I have already pointed out many times, breath, according to the Abhidhamma, is the mind-created corporeality. Because it is a mind-created corporeality, it is inseparable from the mind. When you have no mind, you cannot breathe, right? It shows that the breath cannot exist without the mind. Now, when the mind has one-pointedness and wisdom, when it has mindfulness and awareness, it will make this corporeality, namely the fire element and the color of that corporeality, it will make it bright. And this brightness will manifest by experiencing the in-breath and out-breath together with this color or the light. It is nothing magic, it is just a dependent origination. So do not hold to this experience of light or color. It is just a natural process of using mindfulness, awareness and concentration on the mind-created corporeality. By using concentration, mindfulness and awareness on the mind-created corporeality, that mind-created corporeality becomes just light and luminous. Nothing mystical, nothing special. Nothing to hold to. If you start holding to it, it will disappear because your mind is defiled. The holding to the object, the rejecting the object, being scattered on the object, being unclear about the object, being experiencing sloth and torpor on the object, and doubting about the object will not allow you to experience the object with one-pointedness. And unless you experience the object with one-pointedness, no question of getting into samadhi. When you gather the... Also, you should always contemplate in daily life. When you gather your mind on the object of experience with one-pointedness, when you center on the object, no question of defilements. The defilements come only when you're not able to do it and you scattered on the object of your experience. Now, another confusion I noticed in the interview is that when you gather your mind on the object of the experience, some meditators think that you cannot be aware of the other objects. This is a complete misconception. That if you are gathering the mind on the object of your experience, you can start to be aware of the objects around more intensively, because the doors of the your perceptions are purified. So you are experiencing the world more intensively. Those who don't have samadhi, they cannot experience whatever they do, they cannot experience intensively because their faculties are not clear. The samadhi makes the faculties clear. The more you are able to practice mindfulness and awareness, which is inseparable from gathering the mind on the object, the more clear will be your senses, so the more you will be aware of the nature of your experience. A lot of misconception about it. So when you're walking and you center on walking, you will be able to see everything very clearly all around. When you concentrate on your breath, you will be able to experience everything very clearly. When you concentrate on your talking, you will be able to experience everything around more clearly. When you walk, you will experience everything more clearly. But your mind is devoted, pays attention only to one object. This is how you should train in daily life. So, like yesterday, with Emmy, we went for a walk, having a talk about the enzymes or I don't know what, and not paying attention to where we were passing by, we lost the way. The result was a lot of it was a very nice walk for me anyway, but a lot of difficulties arising one after another because of being not mindful for when you walk, very difficult to maintain mindfulness of what you're doing, walking and so on. Talking takes away the ability of the mind to gather on the object, because the talking is connected with investigation, vitaka vichara, investigation and sustaining on the object. When you sustain your mind on the object of talking, you will not be able to see very clearly things going around. So if you want to make progress in meditation, please talk less. Gather mind more. Otherwise, you will go astray like Emmy and myself last night. This is one thing that we had to clarify. When you have mindfulness and awareness, your experience become intense. When you don't have mindfulness and experience, all that you do, your experience will be very cloudy. And the cloudy mind cannot work effectively. Cloudy mind is by definition cloudy. So the sun of the gathered mind does not penetrate through the clouds. So you will always be deluded about the nature of your experience. So now some of us, I have experience, they have already made experience of these preliminary lights appearing on the where on the place where they experience the in-breath and the out-breath. If these lights are changing colors and changing form, it means that the perception is changing. If these lights, they do not change the form, do not change the color, it means the perception is not changing. What color appears, what form appears is not so important. Important is it becomes stable. Now, if these colors start appearing because they won't be stable in the beginning, so you should not pay attention to them. If you pay attention to unstable object while cultivating stable mind, the mind appearing always together with the object, if it appears with unstable object, how will it stabilize on unstable object? It can only stabilize on the stable object. And your stable object, because you have been cultivating stable object of in-breath and out-breath, experience of in-breath and out-breath, always the same. Now this in-breath and out-breath, if the lights appear, will become very pleasant, very easy to maintain. You should maintain your attention on that in-breath and out-breath. And you should not get deluded by these lights or colors. Only then they will be able to stabilize. If you start paying attention to these colors when they are still changing, then your mind will lose them. Only when the colors or the light which appears together with experiencing the long or short in-breath and out-breath becomes to a certain extent stabilized, then you can make it the object of your experience, of your attention. In that case, if it is stabilized, you don't need to bother about the breath. You can hold, you can establish the mind on it. When you can establish the mind on it, it is called technically ugaha nimitta. Ugaha means utgraha. Ut means up. Graha means pick up. Pick up object. If it is changing, it cannot become the object where the mind will, which the mind should pick up. Only when it is not changing, it can become the object which the mind should pick up. When it has been stabilized and the mind can already pick it up, then you can forget about the in-breath and out-breath, even so you will experience it, but you don't need to pay special attention to it anymore. Then you will be able to go into all these different stages of samadhi. The proximate samadhi, first apana samadhi, second apana samadhi, third apana samadhi, fourth apana samadhi. Apana is anja, it means full samadhi. They all connected with this object, this shamatha nimitta. This object is technically called shamatha nimitta. It is the object on which you train in these different stages of shamatha. In breath, meditating on breath, you train in five stages of shamatha. The proximate samadhi, first stage of shamatha, the first jhana on subtle object, the second jhana on subtle object, the fourth jhana on the subtle object. These are the stages of shamatha, stages of appeasement. In these stages, the mind is appeased. When the mind is appeased, it can start investigating the true nature of experience. If the mind is not appeased, it will not see the true nature of experience. Just like the flickering light of a lamp in a room where there are the guffs, how do you say in English? Guffs of the wind. Your mail. In English they say guff, no? Guff. The Muslim Yingwe. Vayu Prahara. Kaise Inglesi men bolenge? Kashmira. Wind guffs. No, there is a special word. How do you say in English? Guffs. One kilo. Vayu Prahara. How to say? The striking of the guffs. I think, Tachi. Okay, anyway, everybody understands, so we don't need the words. So, in these blows of the wind, the flame of the lamp will flicker here, flicker there. Therefore, the nature of the experience, the objects in the room will not be clear, right? And you will always be deluded by your subjective judgment of the experience. I am stupid. I am bright. When you feel you're stupid, you will become depressed. When you feel you are very bright, you will feel very elevated. This is nothing but ignorant gusts of the wind, which they conceal the objective nature of the experience. So that is why it is very important to cultivate this light of the lamp without the blows of the wind. Then use it for investigating the real nature of experience. So, because this Anapanasati belongs among the meditations connected with the development of the shamatha nimitta, where the image of the object will be purified in front of the mental eyes of the meditator. If you meditate like on metta and so on, you don't have this process of purification of the object of perception. the very ability of mind for one-pointedness will manifest by these colors. Huh? When these colors appear, when the perceptions become more stable, they stop changing. Hmm? This is a sign that you are able to maintain the equal mind and gathered mind on your object. Hmm? When they are not changing anymore, you can use it for the object of concentration. Then your concentration will become more one-pointed. The experience of your pleasure will be more outspoken. The experience of the investigation and the sustaining of the mind on the object will be more outspoken. In this conditioning, you will be able to attain the so-called reflected image of the object. Pati bhaga nimitta. Pati means prati, against. Bhaga means sign or part. So the it will be the it will reflect exactly the mind. The one-pointedness of the mind which you have developed on that object. So the one-pointedness of the mind will be reflected on the stable nature of the object you experience. This is the advantage of also of Anapanasati or other meditations connected with the process of purification of nimitta, of the sign of the object. So, when you have this pati bhaga nimitta, the reflected image of the object, what will happen? Your applied thought, your sustained thought, your rejoicing, your experience of pleasure, and your one-pointedness of the mind will continually appear on the same object, and you can see in front of your eyes that it is so. This is very wonderful. If in this process of developing this one-pointedness of mind on the same object, your object starts moving, it means your mind is moving. When the object becomes not moving, it means your mind is not moving anymore. Hmm? So you can, so to say, observe your mind from outside. Normally, you cannot observe your mind from outside, right? Unless you have a specially bright intelligence and mindfulness and awareness, you will not be able to do it. But here you have the skillful means of observing your mind from the image it has itself created. This is a mind-created image. It comes from the mind and it disappears in the mind. So, if you are able to maintain the investigation, sustain your mind on this object, rejoice on this object, experience pleasure on this object, and one-pointedness on this object, then you are working with the reflected image, reflecting exactly the condition of your mind. Thank you. Now, at the state of proximate samadhi, when you change your perception, that image may still disappear. Some meditators who are approaching this may make experience, suddenly this image disappears and nothing is there. This is a mind falling into bhavanga, into the base of consciousness. Now, if you have the apana samadhi, the established samadhi, then this does not happen. That means that object will remain always there as long as you need him, as long as you decide it has to be there. If you can maintain the experience of the object non-changing or changing just absolutely minimally, then you will be able to investigate that object at the base of your heart, at the base of your perception. That is in the bhavanga. Then while you turn attention from here to your heart, where you will experience the luminosity of the heart, and together with that the same object that you have been experiencing here will appear there. When you have attained that experience, it means you have attained the full samadhi, the first jhana. Otherwise, when you turn from here to here, the object will disappear. That means you have not yet attained the full absorption. When you are able to see, for those who have already trained, when you are able to go through this experience, what is important in this experience, when you have experience this image at the base of your heart, then you will be able to experience also the flow of the mind towards that image. Why will you be able to experience the flow of the mind? Because the mind in samadhi is always the same, not changing. Even so, it is always the same mind, it still appears and disappears in each and every moment of perception. This is the experience according to the agamas the Buddha made under the Bodhi tree. So he mastered fully all the samadhis and used them for vipassana. And he guided his disciples also to go through this experience. This is the fastest experience for direct experience of the ultimate reality. The Buddha under the Bodhi tree, he has completely mastered all the defilements of the samadhi, not allow them to appear even in the rudimentary stage, then use the supernatural powers in order to investigate the nature of his experience. Not only in this life, but also in past lives. And not only of his experience, but also of experience of all the different kinds of sentient beings who are born and die in accordance with their karma and defilements. This is according to the agama what the Buddha experienced under the Bodhi tree. Now, If you are able to experience this sign of the object at the base of your consciousness, you will be able to see the mind turn going towards that object. You will be able also to experience in that flow of the mind going towards that object the five factors of the first jhana, the applied thought, which is a power bringing mind from afar to the reflected image of the object, of the breath, striking it at it, then the another mind power sustaining the mind at the reflected image of the object, another power of the mind rejoicing, letting the mind rejoice at the reflected image of the breath, another power of the mind receiving this reflected image of the breath with pleasure, and another most important power of the mind gathering all the mental factors together on that reflected image. These five, due to these five factors being maintained on the same object continually, you know you have attained the first jhana, then you can go into training on the more appeased states of perception. But I will not now discuss these unless you have mastered the first jhana first. So the shamatha part of the training we have explained with the help of four steps and the four exercises. What remains is the vipassana part we will briefly mention, and then we go to the observation of the feelings with the help of the breath, which is best to be made according to the scripture, should be made with the help of samadhi, but you can even make it, understand it without samadhi, because we have already pointed out there are three aspects of experience: direct experience, derived experience, and the distorted experience. So you can make the experience of the feelings, even so you don't have samadhi, you will not be able to make it directly, but you will be able to deduce it, and you will be able to discover the distortions of the feelings, which are the main source of your defilements. So that much for this morning. We will continue in the afternoon. Now we make a short break. Then 1 hour meditation, and after that 1 hour interviews. 10 to 11 meditation, 11 to 12 interviews. So nothing is missed. Whatever we have missed yesterday is fully compensated today, I hope. So no one will be able to get angry. Okay?